It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR and at www.wrir.org. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Just because you're on the clock, just because you're working, just because you're doing your job when you suffer an injury doesn't automatically make it covered by workers' compensation.
Workers' compensation attorney Andy Reinhart talks about the attack on workers' compensation, which have been so drastic that they virtually guarantee an injured worker will plummet into poverty. And during this week's News You Can Use, we'll tell you about new actions by federal and state authorities targeting illegal practices, including phony debt collection. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 279, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and online at www.wrir.org, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's News You Can Use. Earlier this month, the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, and other law enforcement authorities around the country announced the first coordinated federal-state enforcement initiative targeting deceptive and abusive debt collection practices. This nationwide crackdown encompasses 30 new law enforcement actions by federal, state, and local law enforcement authorities against collectors who use illegal tactics such as harassing phone calls and false threats of litigation, arrest, and wage garnishment. The cases announced this month bring to 115 the total number of actions taken so far this year by the more than 70 law enforcement partners in the Operation Collection Protection Initiative. Some of these actions allege that collectors knowingly attempted to collect so-called phantom debts, phony debts that consumers do not actually owe. The illegal practices targeted by authorities also include the failure of some collectors to give consumers legally required disclosures and notices or to follow state and local licensing requirements. Being in debt is stressful enough for many Americans without also being subjected to intimidation and false threats, FTC Chairwoman Edith Ramirez said. Debtors have certain rights, and rogue collectors that step outside the law will face the consequences of illegal behavior. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan said, "My office receives thousands of calls and complaints each year from consumers who are victims of illegal debt collection tactics. Through our partnership with the FTC and states across the country, we are putting scam operations out of business and protecting consumers from abusive practices by legitimate creditors." Minnesota Commerce Commissioner Mike Rothman added, "Illegal and abusive tactics by debt collectors are a nationwide problem that requires a nationwide response. By working together in this new federal-state collaboration, we are joining our forces to stop these abusive practices and protect the public." As part of the initiative, the FTC announced 5 new enforcement actions against debt collectors engaged in allegedly illegal practices. Of interest to Virginians is a civil lawsuit filed against Gregory K. Pugh, doing business as Dominion Asset Recovery and EZ Payday Loans of America in Virginia Beach. This resulted in a settlement in October that canceled accounts, provided refunds to consumers, and a $5,500 payment to the Consumer Protection Fund. Ironically, the lawsuit was filed by the Attorney General in Indiana, not Virginia, which means that, so far, only Indiana residents and not Virginia residents will benefit. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the law offices of Reinhart, Harper & Davis, workers' compensation attorneys with offices in Richmond and Fredericksburg, covering the whole state of Virginia. We're here with attorney Andy Reinhart, and we'll be talking about workers' compensation and some of the recent attacks on workers' compensation. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Thank you, Marty. Great to be here.
Would you explain to us the history of workers' compensation, which precedes all of our safety net programs and goes back to the beginning of the industrial age and the grand bargain? What exactly was that grand bargain?
Yeah, so workers' compensation programs were started in the United States in 1911, first Wisconsin and New Jersey that year, and eventually all the states, including Virginia. And the agreement that was reached, the so-called grand bargain, was that in exchange for giving up your right to sue your employer, you've got certain benefits in return. And the idea was that it created a safety net, a protection for the employer in exchange for what was supposedly going to be fair, simple, fast, fixed benefits that the injured worker would receive in return. Wage benefits, medical benefits. And that was the idea. Although that hasn't entirely worked out to be the case in all the states for the entire time.
One of the requirements for workers' compensation is that the accident or illness arise out of and in the course of employment. What does that exactly mean?
States vary. But for instance, in the state of Virginia, we are a state that has to show that you either have an occupational disease that you've acquired through your employment, or that you've suffered an injury by accident. And we are an actual risk state, not a positional risk state. In some states, if you happen to have an injury that develops while you're at work, it's presumed that it's work-related. That is not the case in Virginia. There are many technical defenses that can be raised in the state of Virginia, more so than other states, to have a claim covered just because you're on the clock, just because you're working, just because you're doing your job when you suffer an injury doesn't automatically make it covered by workers' compensation. I could give many examples of that, but the short version of it is many even work-related injuries are not covered.
So what does make it covered? Can you give the legal explanation and some examples?
Yeah, sure. So the obvious one is if you fall off a ladder while you're painting and you can prove that, then it's covered by workers' compensation. You have a broken leg. On the other hand, if it turns out that you've fallen off a ladder, but you're at the bottom of the ladder and you don't remember it, you have no memory of the incident. No one witnessed it. And the first thing you say when somebody says, "What happened? I have no idea. I have no memory of it." You've got problems. You've got problems. That's an unexplained accident, potentially, in the state of Virginia.
In that situation, what does the worker do?
Well, if it's a serious injury, and by the way, 40% or more of injured workers are unrepresented in claims filed at the commission. And nationally, fewer than actual 40% of folks that get hurt at work ever file a comp claim. But if it's a serious injury, you need a lawyer. And so in those instances, when they contact us, we do what we can to demonstrate that this accident is in fact work-related.
What are the first couple of things an injured worker should do once an injury by accident occurs?
Well, they should tell their employer. They should make sure that the employer documents the injury. Oftentimes, there are coworkers. They should discuss it with a coworker. A supervisor needs to be notified within 30 days. If it's a serious injury and there's any concern about being covered, again, you should talk to a lawyer. The most important thing, of course, is getting medical care. More important than contacting a lawyer, more important than pursuing your comp case, is to get appropriate medical care. And the Workers' Comp Act provides that if it's a covered compensable case, the employer must provide medical care and must, in fact, give a panel of three doctors from which you can choose one. In that situation, again, assuming that it's not a disputed claim, the employer is responsible for that medical care. If the employer doesn't provide a panel, then the claimant has the right to choose his or her own doctor. As it turns out, oftentimes when the rubber hits the road, if there's a dispute, it becomes difficult. And that's where we sometimes also get involved, where the employer doesn't readily agree to provide care, even when it's, we call it, compensable covered case. Many cases are disputed because there are many technical defenses that can be raised to what otherwise are perfectly legitimate workers' compensation claims.
And what are some of those technical defenses?
Well, among them would be the medical care wasn't reasonable and necessary. You're not treating with an authorized physician. You've got a light duty release, but you're not job hunting, so we don't have to pay you for your time out of work. We don't think the accident happened at work. We think that your medical problem is from a pre-existing condition. We think that the reason that the accident happened is because you violated some company rule or policy. I mean, there are just a multitude of defenses, in addition to which the narrow lane to get cases covered under comp in Virginia is much narrower than many other states. For instance, in Virginia, historically, is among the lowest cost states. The cost of comp for employers is measured on the number of dollars per $100 of payroll, and historically, Virginia is number two or three low-cost state. Among the reasons, fewer medical conditions or illnesses or injuries are covered in Virginia than other states. For example, it's very difficult to get a cumulative trauma injury covered. In many other states, if you've developed problems from lifting over time, that can be covered, even if it's more than a day or two or whatever. You have to show that your medical problem from lifting is a suddenly incurred condition as opposed to cumulative, for instance. Occupational disease claims are very difficult in the state of Virginia. So for that reason, in the state of Virginia and actually in many other states, many of our clients have to seek benefits not just through the comp system, but through other safety nets, like, for instance, state benefits, federal benefits, or family members.
How does a worker go about filing a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission?
The Workers' Compensation Commission is a government agency in the state of Virginia that is the tribunal that hears disputed workers' compensation claims, or for that matter, even a not disputed claim, if it's a serious injury or otherwise, needs to be filed with the Workers' Compensation Commission. There are claim forms that can be filed. It can be done online. It can be done by mail. But the key to this is that Virginia is what we call an award order state. An employer can voluntarily pay medical bills. An employer can voluntarily pay time out of work, but you're not protected until the commission issues an award order that specifically says this is a covered claim. You have lifetime medical benefits. You're entitled to compensation for these periods of time during your time out of work at this rate. So you need to get an award order in some fashion to protect your rights in the workers' compensation system.
What would happen to a worker who resolved the claim with the employer but never filed a claim with the Workers' Compensation Commission?
Well, it's very possible that in that instance, in spite of the seriousness of the injury, that person's going to be out of luck. The statute of limitations could pass. If appropriate claims aren't filed, or agreement forms signed by both the employer and the insurance company, which also can result in an award order, or the case is not taken to a hearing, which again results in an award order. Without that, no matter how serious the injury, no matter the fact that the case should be covered by compensation and considered compensable, that person can have no benefits paid in the future once they stop if the statute of limitation passes. It's a 2-year statute of limitations from the date of the accident. I should add that there are dozens of various technical deadlines and rules and statute of limitations and workers' compensation in addition to that. That's why with a serious injury, you more than likely need a lawyer to protect yourself.
Earlier, you mentioned that the workers' compensation system is supposed to be fast, simple, fair, and fixed. Do you think it is any of those things?
The workers' compensation system is a wonderful safety net, as it's intended and as it was designed, and in fact, as it was originally written in the state of Virginia, the act should be construed liberally in favor of the injured worker. It doesn't always work that way, but in addition to that, because, quote, the grand bargain didn't turn out to be quite the way that was intended in 1972, the Nixon administration had a National Commission on Workers' Comp Laws and determined that the laws in all the various states, because they're all different, were woefully inadequate. and made 19 essential recommendations of things that should be done, after which, for a period of about 20 years, laws improved in all the states to the point that the grand bargain was, I would say, more fair. However, from the early 90s up until now, that's changed. There have been many, we call them deforms in the law, and in fact, benefits in 33 of the 50 states have been drastically reduced. Included in those reductions are the amount of weekly checks, the period of time weekly checks, the maximum amount that a claimant can get, the period of time that medical benefits can be awarded, the difficulty or the hurdles and the burdens of getting a case covered by compensation, fee schedules imposed on doctors and hospitals that limited medical care, in some respects limiting what attorneys can get paid, all various attacks on the comp system, which have resulted in such drastic changes of workers' compensation laws throughout the country that there were very well-known reports that came out from OSHA and ProPublica this year, which demonstrated that the changes over the last 20 years have shown that right now, if you look at the cost to an injured worker and his or her family, about 40% of that actual cost is being borne by the injured worker. About 21%, this is nationally, of the cost to the injured worker and his or her family is being borne by the employer or their insurance company, and the rest is being passed on to state and federal programs. That's all because of the elimination of appropriate medical care, the difficulty of getting a case covered by compensation, and more recently, opt-out programs that have been adopted in Oklahoma, Texas, and I think now Tennessee, which actually gives some of the large corporations in those states or others the ability to not have to provide what was, up until that time, compulsory workers' compensation benefits as part of the grand bargain.
In these opt-out states, does the injured worker have a right to sue the employer for a work-related injury?
Well, that's a great question, Marty. That's the question that courts in those states are asking. Lawsuits against employers are by no means a fair replacement because that would only be in the circumstance where even if you had the right to sue the employer under common law, you could show negligence. Whereas in the comp system, in theory, you don't have to show that. But the problem is we don't really want to have that option of suing the employer. We would rather have adequate, fair, fixed, expedient workers' compensation benefits the way they were originally designed. Fault is still an issue to some extent in the state of Virginia. If you, for instance, if you violate a company rule or policy, or you're intoxicated, or you're using illegal drugs, and that's one of the causes of the accident, and those things are certainly understandable. But if beyond that, you have to show fault to the employer, that is not the way workers' compensation was originally designed because you've given up so much in return, according to the grand bargain, it would be only reasonable that you would have certain fixed benefits. Because keep in mind, as part of the grand bargain, you are now getting wage benefits up to a maximum amount, no more than two-thirds of what you were getting before, medical benefits, but only to cover reasonable and necessary medical care, certain permanent partial impairment benefits, like a permanent loss of use of an arm from a shoulder injury, for instance. But you do not get in the comp system. Pain and suffering, inconvenience, reimbursement for impact on your quality of life losses, relationships, things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore, loss of future earnings, loss of retirement benefits, loss of health insurance for you and your family. None of those things were ever covered by workers' compensation and not going to be now. So it's recognized that when you get hurt at work, particularly with a serious injury, you've lost all those things. You will never get those things back. And in fact, studies have shown that collateral losses go far beyond sometimes 5 or 10 times the actual wage loss because of the collateral impact on the family. So given those circumstances, it would make sense that the worker would have some basic fixed guaranteed benefit and not have to have insurmountable hurdles.
Is there any threat on the horizon to Virginia's workers' compensation system?
You know, I can honestly say two things. One, Virginia is already, as I mentioned earlier, among the lowest cost states, second or third lowest cost state year after year, meaning that for an employer here, what that company is having to pay in workers' comp premium is so low that in theory, you wouldn't think the insurance companies and employers would want to change our laws. That's not entirely true, but I honestly have to say that the legislators on both sides of the aisle here in Virginia have been reasonable and recognize that we're such a low-cost state. Having said that, there is pending now, and it has been for a number of years, a proposal for what we call medical fee schedules in the state of Virginia. And the concept is this, that we would have certain set limitations on what doctors and hospitals get paid. And the reason that that is an issue in Virginia is currently the law here is that the doctors and hospitals are entitled to be paid the prevailing community rate. And if the employer can't demonstrate exactly what that is, then it's presumptively determined that the charges are paid. So the argument of the employer community is that, you know, we're stuck sometimes paying the full boat, whereas no one pays the full boat. The question, though, is what is a fair rate? What is the fair way to determine reasonable customary charges for doctors and hospitals? I do think, it's my impression, that both sides of the aisle agree that we want the best doctors to be treating injured workers. That's how you get those folks back to work. That's how you get those folks healed. That's the best thing that we have in the comp system is medical benefits for our clients. So right now, the legislature is exploring the best way to have predictable costs in the future, of not have medical costs get out of hand, but also make sure that the good docs and hospitals stay in the system. Because in other states, it's been shown that unfair medical fee schedules, those that are Medicare-based, for instance, Medicare plus some premium for that charge, those fee schedules have been shown to cause specialists and even some of the family doctors to say, I'm not going to work in the workers' comp system anymore. I'm not going to treat injured workers because there's a hassle factor. There's a very significant hassle factor for doctors and hospitals to get paid in the comp system that they don't find in health insurance. Overall, I have to say, although on the one hand, Virginia is year in and year out among the lowest cost states, and there are limitations in the state of Virginia, many of them, that don't apply to other states. But at least we have had good medical benefits for our clients when we can get them covered. We've had the finest doctors and hospitals be willing and able to take care of our clients, and we hope that that will continue to be the case.
Well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Andy Reinhart, a workers' compensation attorney with the firm of Reinhart, Harper & Davis, with offices in Richmond and Fredericksburg. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, Marty.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia legal aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This month, 122 state legislators ran for re-election, and all 122 were re-elected in what has been called a tribute to gerrymandering. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when attorney Greg Lucic of One Virginia 2021 talks about his organization and what fair redistricting would look like in Virginia. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.